2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Is the MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet and you want to see what we're all about, use the promo code WIN when going to our website. You can check us out for 7 days for free. That gives you access to the 24/7 Slack chat that we got going on, the Domination Station, which you can use for NASCAR and PGA over the weekend. NBA DFS is officially over after last night's sweep by the Golden State Warriors. But again, you can still check out all of that and, of course, all of our great baseball tools, the VIP lineup page, analytics corner, and all sorts of other things. Once again, that's DFSArmy.com. And if you want to check us out for 7 days for free, use the promo code WIN. I am your host, Al Walsh. Twitter is where you can find me, 14A.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, over there on Twitter as well, at BoomersDFSDaddy. So we had the first installment of Rockies-Phillies last night, and I'll give you guys the credit for the win. My Jared Eichhoff pick is a lot more skewed than what the box score will show.
How is it skewed?
Well, I went over it last night, but home plate umpire Jerry Meals, who apparently notoriously one of the more favorable hitters umpires there, cost Eichhoff 2 strikeouts, which then lead to 3 Rockies runs, costing Eichhoff more earned runs and 2 strikeouts. A quality start would have been added in there. It was just a real shit train of events. Now, you guys definitely would have won the ball game later on anyway, because you put it on us late on the bullpen. But Eichhoff's numbers were not what they look like last night.
Yeah, well, that goes both ways, because my boy, he missed a couple strikeouts too because of bad calls. So, I mean...
Who, Hoffman?
Yeah.
Well, he had plenty of them, so not a big deal for him. And they didn't lose any runs afterwards.
Not a big deal for him, huh?
Well, no, like Charlie Blackman, for instance, last night,
one of the most underrated players in baseball.
Sure. Clear strikeout there in the third inning, and, you know, 2 pitches later, he hits one off the hands, just barely reaches inside the fair line, 2-run double, steals, and then, you know, the Phillies got I don't know why they bring the infield in the third inning, but... They bring it in, and, you know, what should be a routine ground ball out turns into a single and a 3-run inning. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of different things happened last night. But, again, I'm not going to back off that pick for one bet. That's baseball, folks. So things like that will happen. But good night by your boy Hoffman. Last night was a good night to be a bottom-of-the-barrel-priced pitcher. We had a lot of them go nuts last night. Brad Peacock. Your boy Hoffman, I believe Feldman had a very good night. There's somebody else that I'm missing too, but certainly a good night to be a value pitcher.
Yeah, and you know, we started putting out these DFS Army projections last week, and I've been scripting DK lineups for that reason. Trying to get stuff ready so we can produce a Domination Station. And yeah, I nixed out. I put a couple Jeff Hoffman in there just because he's my boy, you know.
Right.
But, you know, Brad Peacock, I'm sitting there going, there ain't no way. Yeah. That didn't work.
Yeah.
So
gotta go with the gut, man.
Yeah, well, I went with the gut, and the gut screwed me yesterday, so. Never know. I guess it's one of those things that you can't really play into a lot, but it was I didn't watch a lot of the games. I watched, me and Heather watched the Rockies game, but we've been getting, and this is not a shameless plug, but we've been getting this Home Chef stuff. We get it delivered on Fridays, and then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we, you know, make dinner because, you know, we both run around ragged throughout the Tuesday through Friday. And so that's usually when I pay attention to a lot of the DFS stuff and, you know, stuff like that. But we were making dinner and watching the Rockies game and everything. And I look up and it's nothing. I look up, it's 3-0. And then we sit down for dinner and all of a sudden the Rockies blow it open. And I'm like, okay, well, this is nice. I was like, you can turn it now. She's like, no. I want to watch this. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So,
by the way, if you get the home, I mean, you could just have me come over to the house. I'll cook dinner. I mean, I am a cook. I did a trimester at Johnson & Wales.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. But, you know, the whole point of, you know, us cooking dinner together is to make it a point to spend, you know, more quality time together instead of us just letting life take over. So.
Boss, I mean, you guys could go watch a movie. I'll be in the kitchen, you know.
Are you going to watch KD?
Yeah, I was going to say KD could throw in the parsley when needed and whatnot. So.
All right. Well, then, get
and
your
I
ass
don't,
down here.
And I don't pay for my own airfare, so that's going to be on you, too.
That's okay, as long as we don't have – we'll pay for the airfare, just as long as you're down here for like a year and, you know, we don't have to pay for anything else.
Oh, no, I was going back and forth between Oklahoma and Jersey each night. That's – I mean, you know, it might be a little expensive for the airfare, but, I mean, I'm sure we can get enough freaking flyer miles.
I need to ask Kevin for a raise then.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Oh, and you gotta buy the ingredients too. All right. I ain't going to shop.
Oh, so I've got to buy the ingredients. Right. I've got to pay for the airfare.
That's correct.
And put up with you in person, and have you meet my wife in person, and send you back home.
See those? Just those for last you to three. Cook? Those last three, you're making it sound terrible. It's not that bad.
On, no, man. It's not that bad, but that takes away from us as a family, maybe.
Dealing with you in person? Oh, no, it's not that bad.
Well,
no.
Right now, if I get frustrated with you, all I got to do is just press a button. You know, if you're here in town, I got to freaking kick you out of my house.
I'm sure you've got some wonderful neighbors I can be friends with. It's all good.
To have a vacant house next door because the guy died.
Oh.
But now...
So that's the thing. I don't know about going into houses where people died. I mean, I've seen one too many Unsolved Mysteries episodes, and yeah,
I think the national average is now it's something close to around 35% of houses that are lived in currently have one point had somebody pass away in those houses.
Yeah, when you break it down statistically like that, that's probably how it goes.
God knows how many apartments. So, anyways, there's our rant for the day. Woohoo!
Hey, all right. Let's dig in on these positional folks. We shall start with the pitcher, and of course, our good friend Clayton Kershaw is back in our lives. Now, I'm a fan of Kershaw. I've always have been. But the one thing that's kind of, you know, making me second guess here are the strikeouts. And it's crazy to say this, but Clayton Kershaw only has 62 strikeouts in 62 and two-thirds innings this season. Very expensive there on FanDuel there. I believe it's 12-6 is what he's running at right now. But the Cardinals do have the 10th highest strikeout rate against left-handed pitching this season. It is Kershaw back at home. He's done a lot. He's faced a lot of the teams that he's faced this season. He's faced them multiple times, like the Giants and the Rockies. So now he gets fresh blood here with the Cardinals. Are we finally going to have that wonderful performance from Mr. Kershaw tonight?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
You want to know why?
Oh, boy, do I.
Because when was the last time a Dodgers pitcher threw more than 7 innings? In fact, if you just go back to Clayton Kershaw, okay, we'll just talk about – forget Dodgers pitching. We'll just talk about Kershaw for a moment, okay? And guys, when I say this, let it be known, I'm talking strictly tournaments. Obviously, Kershaw, he's the top play that you can throw in there in cash games. But if we talk just strictly tournaments, okay, he's 12-6. He is $2,300 more than the second highest pitcher on the slate. Whether that be Lester, Carrasco, either one, doesn't matter. But Clayton Kershaw has only pitched into the eighth twice this season.
Mm.
That was against Arizona on April 14th, where he threw 8 1/3, and against San Diego on May 6th, where he threw 7 1/3. Other than that, with the strikeouts not being there, he's only hit double digits once, by the way, this year. With the strikeouts not being there, I can't do it. And I love playing Kershaw. I can't do it. I mean, yeah, he's getting his points, but I just can't do it.
Oh, and so. That's fair. The way the way that we've seen scoring lately this season, strikeouts are pretty much the most important thing that we're going for. You bring up the point that he's only had double digits once this season, and he just squeaked in there at 10. So yeah, that from that perspective, it looks good. And again, I don't think that we're the only people that are thinking this way either. So, from my perspective, I don't think we're going to see Kershaw at these astronomical prices that we've seen in the past. And
ownership percentage. Sorry.
Ownership percentage. That's what I meant. Good catch. But when we look at it, that part is appealing, and I don't think so much it's with Kershaw that. Dave Roberts is really holding him back. I mean, he certainly has struggled and labored a bit here, more than he has in the past. So I think that's got more to do with that. I think if Kershaw were going to go for the for the complete game, he would probably be there. I know he had, 8 innings at San Francisco that last start. He definitely could have gone for the complete game, but, it was, the Dodgers had that game well in hand, so there was no need to rush him there. So, man, it's a tough call, but again, I don't think we're going to see Kershaw as highly owned as we usually do.
Maybe not, but because of the fact that he's Clayton Kershaw, he's going to carry an astronomical price.
I'm just looking for any excuse to play him, goddammit.
Well, I mean, if you want an excuse to play him, then, just play him because he's Clayton Kershaw. You don't have to make an excuse. I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball, and it's not even close, but that's not the point. I'm talking from a strictly tournament DFS perspective. I mean, this is something you've got to think about. I mean, if you're going to force Clayton Kershaw in your lineups, then you've got to be able to have confidence in picking some bats, and there aren't a lot out there right now that are, great, as Alvarez posts his Free Squares article. I mean, he's $2,300 more than John Lester on DraftKings as well. So, I mean, and he's 13-4 on DraftKings. So, I think if you want to play him, you can on FanDuel and cash, but I'm definitely not playing him in GPPs.
All right. It was pretty funny, actually, that night that Kershaw had 28, the home start against the Giants. I actually had my third most profitable night of the season, but that's just because all my value bats went bananas. That was the Tyler Collins bananas night.
The 2 home run, 2 double, and a triple, and 5 million RBIs. And
he had like 40-something, but yes, we're on the same path.
There you go. So,
all right. So I think another lefty is going to be at the top of this list tonight. That's John Lester. He's been awesome at Wrigley Field this season. 2.03 ERA. You look at his game log, just take a look at, the performances there at Wrigley. He's been lights out. Even had a really nice performance there against the Yankees a couple nights ago on Sunday Night Baseball. The Giants have been one of the worst offenses in baseball this season. Even this month, they've been pretty bad. They did their thing last night against John Lackey, but I think, when we look at teams' aces, this is their job, is to, the Cubs aren't on a huge losing streak, but they kind of prevent their teams from falling into slides. And I think after the Cubs, just really came out just dry as hell last night, I think Lester's going to come out here with a nice performance and shut down these Giants.
I guess I don't mind it. John Lester's not really on the top of my food chain.
Sure.
I've got others that I have pegged a little bit higher. Um, I mean, projections like them, but the actual DFS Army grade isn't matching up to where the projections are leaning. And I'm really, really, really kind of torn on that one. He's about the highest I would go, I think.
Okay.
But I could see myself completely being off of him as well.
Sure. We've also got an hour. This game actually starts an hour earlier than usual for the Chicago folks out there. For, you know, just letting that be known out there. Yeah, and again, too, I mean, I know a lot of these Giants hitters, you know, the lefties anyway, they're pretty good against left-handed hitters, against left-handed pitching. So, you know, Lester can sort of neutralize some of those guys, your Crawfords, your Belts, your Spans, guys of that nature. But, I like Lester. I just think that the fact that, you know, he's at home and he's been a lot better there, more focused there this season, that's sort of the appeal there with Lester.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry a lot about stolen base upside. I mean, or stolen base effect. Although Wilson Contreras has been pretty good about throwing guys out that have tried to steal against him. So
he might get Montero tonight. Contreras started last night against the lefty, and I don't know. The Cubs have been weird with how they've been running their catchers, so he might get him.
Okay.
Throwing it out there.
There you go.
Other pitchers that you like tonight?
Christian Bergman's popping off the page. I don't know if really? I trust it yet. This is only going to be his third start since
he
coming
did
back
go
up.
Bonkers last time out.
Oh, he's gone bonkers his last two games. If you look at it, he's got two games where not completely bonkers, but he's got two games where he's thrown. Well, he had that one bad game against Texas, but the reason why he didn't have a good game against Toronto was not because he didn't get the quality, or he just didn't pitch deep enough into the game and didn't have the strikeouts. I mean, he only allowed 3 earned runs, but he's actually been pretty serviceable. I think I have more interest in him on DraftKings. Where he is 4,900 as an SP2 punt, but he's popping off the page. Now, the guy that I have a lot of interest in is Lance McCullers.
Okay.
I think that he has the possibility to not only outperform Clayton Kershaw and John Lester, but I think he's going to be the highest highest pitcher on the slate as far as, you know, total points when everything is said and done.
Yeah, he is interesting. Now, they do have the second highest Vegas money line of the night. The Astros do it, -235. McCullers is another guy that's been more serviceable at home. I believe, I gotta look at the number. I just wrote it down not too long ago, but he has Jesus McCullers, where are you? He's got 35 strikeouts in 26 innings at home this season. Again, the 2.08 ERA there at the Juice Box in Houston. Certainly good for him. Now, this game does have a total of 9, which I think plays more to the Houston offense than it actually does, you know, when McCullers being lights out. But, yeah, he's certainly got some strikeout appeal here. And, you know, it's weird. For as good as the Tigers have been, they've also had some, you know, I was looking at some pitchers today, and some of their better outings have been against the Tigers, you know, whether that's strikeouts or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's not the easiest lineup to go through, but I do think, you know, whatever happens with McCullers, they'll still get a quality start in the win tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I also have interest in Dylan Bundy.
Okay.
It might be a homer pick, but going against the Twins there today. Jeez, that game kind of just absolutely just blew up on us yesterday. But Dylan Bundy is looked pretty decent this season so far. I don't. There's not a lot of sexy options today once you get past those top, like, four. And I'm talking about, you know, Lester, Carrasco, Kershaw, McCullers. There's not a lot of sexy options. But there's a lot of potential. And guys in really good matchups. Like I said, Lester pops off the page. Matt Shoemaker against the Rays. Herman Marquez against your Phillies. These are all guys that right now that we have them projected over 30 FanDuel points. And then Matt Harvey's right in that threshold right underneath it.
Indeed. Yeah, I got Harvey on the list today. And it's not so much Harvey as it is the opponent that he's going against. And the Padres, you know, they got to come across the country for this game. You know, Harvey's actually – he looked pretty good there in that last start against the Diamondbacks. He did get into a lot of trouble early with giving up a lot of base runners, but he was able to wiggle his way out of trouble. You got to take a look at his last three starts, though. And me being an apologist for a Met is like, you know, I don't know, a human being walking across water. I'm probably never going to see it. But his last three starts have been in Atlanta, in Milwaukee, in Arizona – you know, ran into a lot of trouble in all those starts there, as he probably would, you know, as you probably think he would have. But against, you know, the Padres being back at home, I think this is a pretty good spot for him. On FanDuel, he's at 8,000, which kind of sucks. It like really puts him in no man's land. But I think he should, you know, 35 FanDuel points with the win, quality start. You know, maybe not too many strikeouts, but a decent amount, couple earned runs is what we should probably expect from Harvey. We got him. There were, I mean, you know, Danny Duffy, he just had that good start against the Yankees his last time out. But we've seen this plenty of times where, you know, whether the pitcher has a good outing in his first start against a team in a week out of two, or he has the bad start, they don't go the same way that we thought they would. But
as we saw last night.
Indeed. An interesting stat that I picked up, though, the Yankees have the second highest strikeout rate over the last 14 days out of anybody in the majors. So that is certainly something to look at. Vegas doesn't really like Duffy tonight. They got the Yankees pegged as -150 favorites tonight. So
for all of your screaming that Vegas hated the Yankees early on in the season, they sure do love them now.
No, you know what? It was it wasn't them. It was I feel like it was in basketball. Maybe it was with the Yankees, but yeah, certainly. I forget the one team. Oh, the Miami Heat in basketball.
There you go.
Absolutely hated them, and they ended up coming back. You mentioned Herman Marquez against the Phillies. Pretty much anybody against the Phillies is an option these days. And then you mentioned Lance McCullers. I think, you know, Carlos Carrasco is going to be interesting. Vegas likes him a lot tonight, even though that, you know, they're not going to be in the greatest pitcher's park. Certainly has that strikeout upside. Prior to that last start against Tampa Bay, Carrasco was absolutely rocking and rolling each start. You know, he's pretty much the same price there as John Lester.
And he's going to be lower owned because he's got that pectoral designation by his name.
Indeed. Now, again, this Reds team can certainly be a pain in the ass, especially if the top of their order gets on base. You know, Billy Hamilton's just a pain in the ass. But and then you got, you know, Zach Cozart right behind him. You got Joey Votto there, Adam Duvall. I mean, it's not the easiest lineup to deal with. But, again, Carrasco's strikeout upside is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Any other low streamers or anything like that we should be looking out for?
Not right now. Something might pop off later on in the pay or in the day when the lineups start coming out, but not right now.
All right. Let's get through these positions. We'll be looking at the backstop tonight.
I'm going to go back to Tony Walters.
All right. He looked good last night.
He did. He's looked good pretty much all season. This is a guy that, you know, I think there's this stigma about him. Last season, he, you know, basically was picked up as a, you know, unrestricted free agent, you know, in camp from the Indians. And you know, made his way on the team because of the defense, and his bat just hadn't caught around. Well, he worked really hard on it this winter, and it's coming around, and he's hitting, you know, not for a lot of power, but he's hitting. He's going to give you, you know, 6 to 10 points if he, you know, can get on base a couple times, maybe score a couple runs, you know, and then anything over that is an added bonus. But as long as his price continues to stay low, then, I mean, it's something that we can take advantage of. Obviously, Evan Gattis, if he's in that lineup, Evan Gattis or Brian McCann, either one of them are in play today. I think it's going to be Brian McCann, to be completely honest, but he's in play.
He got the night off last night.
Yeah. You know, Gary Sanchez is always going to, you know, have a higher ownership there. It's another one of those positions where I'm not going to pay for it. If Buster Posey is the guy that beats me, then he's the guy that beats me, but I'm not paying, you know, for Buster Posey or Yasmani Grandal or Gary Sanchez. I'm just not going to pay that price for a catcher, especially when I have higher-end pitching options available today.
Yeah, Posey put a couple nice swings on the ball last night. Didn't quite make it out of...
He got Babbitt.
Wrigley out there. He actually had a really nice catch. Somebody had a nice catch against right field, Hayward, I guess. So we got to think about that. Yeah, that Gary Sanchez play is interesting. Again, especially since Vegas really likes the Yankees tonight. You know,
he
gotta
still
wonder
has
why.
A 0.00 ISO versus right-handed pitching.
Well, that's a good thing that a lefty is.
Or versus left-handed road. Pitching.
Oh, you said right-handed yesterday. But it is against lefties.
Yeah, it is against lefties.
All right, you said righties yesterday.
Sorry.
All good, all good. Yasmani Grandal, lefties against Lance Lynn are the thing to do nowadays. So, you know, Grandal's been one of the hotter hitters in the league for a while now. That was even before he went into that series at Coors Field, but that certainly helped him a little bit. I really like him a lot tonight against, you know, Lance Lynn there from the Cardinals. Let's see. Gotta see who's going to be behind the dish for the Diamondbacks tonight. You got Dylan Covey going for the White Sox, so whether that's Chris Iannetta. Wonder if we can get some Chris Herman action in our lives. I liked him a lot last night, but he didn't start, so tonight could be a good night to go to the well there. Jonathan Lucroy is interesting. Rick Porcello giving up a lot of hits and whatnot to right-handed batters this season. He's got the severe reverse splits and a pretty high total there in Fenway Park tonight. So Lucroy is a decent option.
Yeah, I don't mind that. But, you know, like I said, unless it's on my DK script, if it's on FanDuel, I'm just not doing it.
Okay. Wellington Castillo, too, one of the hotter hitters in all of baseball, not just the Orioles or for catchers. You know, he's come off the DL ripping and roaring, so he's not a bad option either.
Yeah, he's looked really good since he came off the DL. I think they talked to him a little bit, and that the pressure that was living up to the contract that was affecting him early in the season is no longer an issue. So
I like with some of these guys, I feel, and I've even noticed this, you know, not playing basketball for a while, but and then getting back out there. You know, when you watch the game from a different vantage point, you know, you kind of start picking up on some things that you might not have in the past.
I know playing DFS has made my baseball game better. Hey, yo!
Gotta love that. And then, you know, how can we forget about Sal Perez? He didn't do the damn thing last night, but he's been pretty hot lately, so don't forget about him.
Yeah, just because a guy didn't do anything the night before doesn't mean I'm going to shy away from him. They've got to be cold going on like a week or two in order for me to really, really, really start to, you know, get off of them until they start looking good and swinging good.
Oh, for sure. All right, let's get the first baseman. Who are you liking there?
Mark Reynolds. He's obviously going to be one of the top first basemen of the day. Got to like Paul Goldschmidt again tonight. Jose Abreu. Yeah. Is actually a very, very, very good option. And in one of these late games, I really kind of like Yonder Alonso.
Okay. Now, with you, you're talking about Mark Reynolds. What the hell's his name? Zach Eflin. I mean, he's only on my favorite team, right? Zach Eflin has been getting bopped over the head by right-handed bats, 323.
he's allowing to the right side of the plate. So,
you know, Nolan, Ian Desmond, Mark Reynolds, probably Pat Valaika is going to be in there. LeMahieu. I'm trying to think of who else. That's pretty much. Well, I mean,
for your stack later.
No, I'm just saying that they're those are all the right. Like, I'm just saying, like, as far as Zach Eflin's concerned, the Rockies can go. I think I just named off six deep with right-handed bats. So as long as Bud Black is a privy to the same information that we are, which he should be. Then he should be rolling out a right-handed heavy lineup, which, for all the data nerds out there, is going to keep this Rocky stack, again, under 5%.
Well, let's hope they fall off a cliff. Okay, we got two good first basemen in that Tampa Bay LA game tonight there at the Trop, where Logan Morrison, he has pretty good BVP against Shoemaker, I believe 4-for-11 with a double and a homer. And then Albert Pujols, who is actually 5-for-5 against Alex Cobb in his career with a double and a homer. So we'll see how all that goes tonight. Cobb's actually been pretty decent here of late, but he's got absolutely terrible BVP numbers against Pujols and Trout, which we'll get to later. So that's kind of tough to navigate your way around that if you can't navigate it around those two fellas. So.
Exactly.
Another couple interesting options here. Josh Bell going up against R.A. Dickey. I don't mind that. And then Will Myers up against Matt Harvey. Again, Harvey, you know, I think he can do pretty well tonight, but doesn't mean that he can't give up a solo shot and a couple hits. And Will Myers got some good pop on a good night. And again, he's going to be extremely low on, especially going up against a righty on the road. People might forget he even exists. So I like him.
Yeah, two other ones, Ryan Zimmerman and Matt Holliday, are up there at the top, too.
All right. I don't even think we mentioned Paul Goldschmidt.
Mitch Moreland.
That just goes without saying. All right. All right, second
No,
base.
I said Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, you did?
All yeah, because right. He was right before I mentioned Jose Abreu.
Gotcha. All right, second base.
It's Jed Lowry for me.
Okay.
Like, seriously, if he's in that lineup, it's Jed Lowry on FanDuel because he's only 2,300 still, and he's batting either in the two or the three hole.
Travesty.
So, until they make him, like, I literally am contemplating going 100% on Jed Lowry on FanDuel.
Interesting.
Because, especially if he's in that two or three hole, because you're getting cheap top of the lineup exposure in a good matchup, and it's just.
Does he still wear the double flapped helmet a la Shane Victorino?
Yes, he does.
What a copycat! He's copying Shane Victorino and little leaguers all over the world.
Double ear flap.
Son of a bitch. This could be a decent Ryan Chimp night. He did break an over 32 spell by homering in Sunday's game. He actually, last season, I think it was against Harvey, but he hit one of the longest homers I've ever seen at Citi Field. So hopefully the old stomping grounds could help him get back in a groove. And I also like Mr. Brandon Phillips here tonight. He's been swinging the bat really well of late. I think kind of realized, all right, maybe we need some more pop in the lineup now that Freddie Freeman's not here, but he has been really good. 9 for his last 21 with 4 doubles and a homer, homered last night. 6 walks, got 6 runs in the last 7 games, on base percentage of .556 over the last week, OPS 1.317. So he's just been absolutely rocking and rolling. I like him. Very cheap on FanDuel, too, $2,500.
Yeah, he's been swinging pretty well, so I don't mind that.
He's also had 2 stolen bases, and don't forget, Tyler Glass now absolutely terrible at holding runners on base, so could have the upside there.
Yep.
KD likes it.
He does. KD seal of approval.
Any other second baseman you like him?
We already mentioned DJ a little bit. Jonathan Scope again. I know it's Irvin Santana, but Starlin Castro is there as well. Nothing really out of the ordinary.
Okay.
As Katie slams his puffs into his chair.
Drumming like a mama. All right. I'm good with second baseman. I don't really have any other ones there. Third base, what do you like here?
Nolan Arenado. Now, I had somebody in a DM ask me last night, like, why didn't you say anything about Nolan having a black eye? You know? And my wife later on that night asked me, she goes, I was like, yeah, look at Nolan's eye, you know, because it was during that at bat. And she goes, can he see? Next thing you hear is crack. And I was like, see ya. I was like, yes, baby, he can see.
Well, you know how it is when you go, well, maybe you don't, but maybe some of our listeners know how it is when you go out to a Philly bar, you know, you say something stupid, bam.
Oh, crack. No, this black eye was the result of a Billy Hamilton chopper.
That's what they'll have you believe, but...
Oh, no, I watched it.
Oh, no. Actually, I remember seeing that now. Oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, he...
Oh, I got it. No.
Well, he's got to make a play quick, so he tries to barehand the ball and throw it, and Nolan... and they called it... They still called this an error. Like, they still called it... Nolan was... He was the only third baseman in baseball to not have an error that had as many chances as he's had. You know, he's only, like, not played two games or three games. And they called that one an error. And I'm like, that is some major, like...
Major influence on
bias or something. Because I don't know the right word to sit there, but... With yes. Billy Hamilton at the plate, and you have to barehand a chopper, and, oh, it just happens to miss your hand, and you get hit in the eye, you call that an error? I don't know. It's not like he was showing off to try to do it. He was doing it to try to make a play. So.
Yeah, everyone hates the Rockies. It's okay. Josh Harrison's got some pretty good BVP against Dickey, 7 for 20, a double and a triple there. It takes a special skill to hit the knuckleballer, and I guess Mr. Harrison can do it. He's been running pretty hot here lately. So.
Are we going to get some Jake Lamb love?
Of course we're going to get some Jake Lamb love. He outscored Chris Bryant on one swing last night.
God. Oh, my. I should have just went with my Diamondbacks and Rockies stack.
Oh, what am I doing? I'm stupid. I completely forgot. I posted. Take a look at the Chris Bryant game log, if you will, and tell us what game he's playing.
Let's see, Chris Bryant. He is playing.
It's America's favorite.
Good game, bad game.
Ding 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 ding. Now he does go up against Johnny Cueto tonight, which is pretty interesting. So for tournaments, if you believe in this good game, bad game thing, this would certainly be a way to go. Because I mean, you know, Chris.
Or
Bryant
if you just
was...
want to go back to the Cubs after they completely crapped the bed last night, that's it.
Well, I mean, if they could have played the eighth inning eight times, that would have been good. But. Yeah, I think everybody's going to be off Chris Bryant because what he was damn near 50% owned last night.
I think you're wrong on that one. Not everybody's going to be off of Chris Bryant. There's going to be some. His ownership's not going to be as high, you know, because one is 15 games and two you've got other good third basemen. But the Cubs, no matter what, in this day and age, right now, currently, are not sneaky by any stretch of the imagination. So you might get like 5% less ownership. But they're going to all carry – they all carry ownership all the time.
Well, here's
Wilson Contreras was 35% owned last night.
Well, again, you know, with them going up again, that was the other value pitcher that went off. Ty Black, whatever the hell his name is. Yeah, because everyone saw that coming. But, yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. But I think since the fact that Johnny Cueto's pitching tonight – now, we know that this isn't last year's or – you know, in the past, Johnny Cueto, but I think that still will, you know, I think that will still limit some, or I shouldn't even say some, I think that'll limit most of the ownership.
Yep.
That's how I feel. All right, so we've got those guys. All right, so we've got Harrison, Bryant, Arenado, Lamb, absolutely going up against Dylan Covey. Jake Lamb's going up to the top for that one.
Yeah, he's the top rated third baseman in the DFS A grades, so.
I talked about that in the Slack chat last night. I was watching whatever the MLB – was MLB Tonight right before – you know, like an hour before lineup lock. and they had back to back like segment. Like the first one was on Chris Bryant, the next one was on Jake Lamb. I'm like, I don't know which one to play now, but of course I picked the wrong one because I'm me. Ha! Yep. All right. Any other third baseman you like in here?
No, I'm pretty much, it's going to be one of those two for me.
Yeah, it's a high profile night at the position. No doubt, no doubt. All right, let's talk about shortstops. What do we like here?
It's really hard to get away from Gene Segura the way he's been playing. It's really, but I don't know if I want to pay $3,700 for him. I mean, right now, currently, he's more expensive than Xander Bogaerts, Francisco Lindor, Trey Turner, and Corey Seager.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously. And it's so difficult to get off of him, though, just because he's been performing so well. I don't mind going back to Didi in this matchup. He grades out pretty well. I really, really like Xander in this matchup against Andrew Cashner. And I really, really, really do like Corey Seager as well.
Hey, nice call there with Didi last night. He donged against Mr. Vargas. Very nice.
There we go.
So that was a good one. And, yeah, I guess, you know, Zach Cozart's price, actually, I guess since he's playing or since he's facing Carrasco today, went, like, off a complete cliff and went to 2,900. I think that's a steal. I would even take that chance on him just for, like, one or two at-bats against the Cleveland bullpen. It's that real.
I mean, I could see it, I guess.
I mean, for Cozart, who's the fourth leading hitter in baseball, to be 2,900, I mean, what are we doing with life here? I mean, come on now.
It is Carlos Carrasco, though.
I understand, but he's not Jesus Christ.
You're right, he's not. But it's it not is Jesus Carlos Christ Carrasco.
With the curveball. yeah, Segura's a decent play there going up against Ross. Yeah, you got again Corey Seager, who you mentioned there, going up against Lance Lynn. Lefty on Lynn is a beautiful way to go. I like the Astros stack tonight, so this could be a good time for Carlos Correa to get back in the swing of things. I like that one. Tim Anderson has a lot of homers here over the last week. Only 3,000 going up against Patrick Corbin. So
yeah,
that could be nice.
Definitely could be.
All right, let's talk about these outfielders. What are we liking there?
You've got to look at Josh Reddick, Corey Dickerson, Ben Gamel, J.D. Martinez. These are all guys that have been swinging the bat really well lately. Jay Bruce going against Yelich Chacin. Michael Conforto. I mean, Chacin's been serviceable, but he's still Chacin. I mean, there's a lot of outfielders tonight. Nelson Cruz, Ian Desmond. I mean, obviously Charlie Blackmon. If Cargo's in the lineup again, he's been swinging the bat a lot better the last five games. He had, what, three hits again last night?
Rub it in. Go ahead.
I don't mean it to rub it in. I'm just saying. Chris Davis is another good one. I mean,
all right. You mentioned a couple fellas. Gotta go. Adam Frazier, still another guy. I really wish his price would come back down again, but hell, when you're hitting 364, I don't think it will. Endurance Yarte is interesting from that same game. Again, remember Tyler Glass now is absolutely pathetic at holding runners on base. And the good thing is he lets a lot of runners on base, so that's a bad combination. Inciarte, who I mentioned in the notes yesterday, would be a good stolen base candidate, did just that last night. If you're going up to Kershaw tonight, decent guy Corey Spangenberg, still very cheap in the outfield there, probably going to be hitting second for the Padres. So again, not a guy that's going to go yard or anything like that, but still going to get on base. He could come around and score a couple runs off Harvey. And Mike Trout, 4-6 lifetime off Alex Cobb. I mean, you know, the guy's just an absolute monster. There's really nothing to say that hasn't been said already. And if Yasmani Tomas is back in the lineup, I'd like to see him do something big here tonight.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Again, his teammate David Peralta, who was pretty highly owned last night, didn't really do much, but he can certainly do the big thing against a righty at home. So that is what he's known for. And your boy Charlie Blackman's been crushing it lately, so he's a good option too.
Always.
He does look like he eats 3 square meals at the homeless soup kitchen, but I mean, hey. That's not what we're judging here.
Chuck Nasty is the only guy that has been worth the price almost consistently day in and day out. So
I have other outfield. I'm just going to keep going since I completely missed a couple of these. But Corey Dickerson homered on his birthday yesterday. Happy belated. Abisail Garcia going up against Patrick Corbin. Not that expensive. And then, of course, Cody Bellinger, lefty on Lynn. So why not?
There you go.
All right. Let's look at some stacks today. Who are you liking there?
I like the Nationals. I think they're a pretty good one.
Even with Bergman popping off the page?
Even with Bergman. Like I said, I don't trust it. I don't trust it yet. Just because there's not a huge sample size. Obviously, the Diamondbacks are in play. I think they're going to be highly owned. The Astros. We didn't talk about a lot of Astros, but they're really popping off the page.
Oh, but I want to.
They're really popping off the page going up against Jordan Zimmermann. Obviously, the Rockies are in play.
Hold on, real quick, before you get to that, I did not want to cut you off talking about the Rockies against my Phillies. But, again, if you remember when we were talking about the pitchers early on today, Houston's money line is at, I believe, 235. And, again, I think this has a lot more to do with the Houston bats in this one. So, I think there's more than a couple here that are going to work. I forgot to mention him during the outfielders, but Norichika Aoki, I mean, he's a guy, speaking of getting on base and, you know, doing that wraparound stack for the Astros, I think he's a solid play there.
He kind of is.
Yeah. So. I just want to toss that in.
I like it.
All right. You're talking about the Rockies, too. Again, remember, right-handers against Eflin have been doing most of the damage this season. We've put up a couple names, plenty of names throughout the show. LeMahieu, Arenado, Reynolds, Desmond would probably be the best guys to stack there. Let's see here. Yeah, you know what's an interesting one here, too, would be the Seattle Mariners going up against Joe Ross. One guy that we forgot to mention during the positional breakdown is Robinson Cano. He's scheduled to come back off the DL today. And left-handed bats have been absolutely crushing Joe Ross. And Ross is going to be making his first start since, I believe, April 30th. The Nationals sent him down so he could get some work on his mechanics and whatnot. But this has been a thing about Ross ever since coming into the league that lefties have just bopped him over the head. So you mentioned Ben Gamel in the last segment with the outfielders, but him, maybe like a Jared Dyson, even Cano coming back off the DL, Kyle Seager, guys like that are all going to be very sneaky options for the Mariners tonight.
Yeah, I was about to say I really do like the Mariners stack. So.
And also, too, with Houston, Jose Altuve, we forgot to mention him in the positional breakdown, but he's in.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got for stacks? Anybody else?
That's really about it. I don't think I have the balls to go with a full on a stack, but I do think Jed Lowry and Chris Davis and Yonder Alonso are all in play. So, dang it, you can't do that on FanDuel. Never mind.
All right. I think in terms of a very, very sneaky stack, if you want to pick on this Matt Harvey narrative, and you know, if you think he's completely done, and that he's just going to absolutely suck, I don't think he's going to be that bad tonight. But I mean, look, we've seen it plenty of times with him just blowing up. I think a Padres stack could be interesting here. Maybe Myers, Schimpf, maybe even like a Solarte, guys like that can really can really break out against Harvey. So that would be interesting.
I think you're on a very, very good track, because I think Harvey's one of the guys that, you know, you could legitimately make a case for putting in your lineup or stacking against in your lineup.
Yeah.
He's like especially now, like earlier in his career, no, but like now you've got him, you got Steven Strasburg, a couple of the Indians pitchers. You know, you've got these guys that you can legitimately make, you know, cases for playing in your lineup, and every point that you were to make that would be valid, and every point that you were to make for stacking against them is valid as well.
Yes.
So it's like a tear of both worlds. It really makes making one lineup very difficult unless you're just going to fade it.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Once again, if you're not a member with us and you want to see what's going on behind the barrack walls of the DFS Army, go to dfsarmy.com, use the promo code WIN, and you'll be able to check us out for 7 days for free. If you don't like us, well, you can go to hell. But if you do, well, join up with us, and we can conquer the world together. If you want to find us on Twitter, make sure you follow the mothership account at DFS Army. Follow me, Al Walsh, at 14a.walsh. Follow Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. And that'll do it for today. I will not be on the air tomorrow, but I don't know if Keith and Chop will maybe Chop or Keith, maybe Keith goes solo, maybe Chop joins along. I don't know, but I certainly won't be here. But I will be back Thursday for the people. And keep on rocking in the free world, fellas. We go. Peace.
Peace out.